You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I'm absolutely thrilled you guys are here with me. Thanks so much for everyone that's been supporting the Paranormal Portal and spreading the word to all the friends and contacts you have that are into the paranormal as well. It's been just an incredible ride, and we really appreciate your love and support. But if you have a paranormal experience of your very own that you'd love to share on the show and perhaps be a guest as well, please email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. And we can have a discussion and get in touch and work it out and get you on the air. So it's always great to get a chance to talk to the listeners and to hear what you guys have been through. It is by far my favorite part of doing this show. And it has been the avenue by which I've learned more than any other avenue in my research into the subject. So get in touch with me and we'll get you on the show. So, but ladies and gentlemen, we got a great show lined up for you guys today. I've got Jonah from Alberta on, and we're going to get into his incredible series of events and just see what he's experienced as well. So, hey, Jonah, welcome to the show, and I appreciate you taking the time to be here with me, brother.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, it is really fantastic to have a chance to talk with people who have experienced things themselves, or at least very close with people very close to them, because I think that the firsthand experiences or just firsthand once removed experiences are the most powerful. Because what I've found, Jonah, is that people experience things differently because, you know, each person may cue off of things very uniquely from anybody else. And to me, it's really the breadcrumbs to the whole puzzle. But I got to ask you, how long have you been interested in the paranormal?
Oh, I think I've been pretty much interested in it most of my life, I would say.
Okay, so from a very young age, yeah. Huh? Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's always either fascinated me or scared me. So either way.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I know it can be really frightening. But can you tell us then, where this all started for you? What is your first experience?
Well, I think my first experience, I can't say for sure it was anything paranormal or anything like that. But to me, it sure felt like it. Yeah, I used to, when I was a kid, for most of my childhood, I would go through these night terrors that I would have at night, and it was just, I would wake up in the night screaming and running around the house, a lot of times I was yelling just nonsense, like things that didn't make sense. And my parents would wake up and they try to calm me down, and they couldn't seem to calm me down. I was just having a major freak out. And I was always like, had my eyes open, and in my own mind's eye, I could see everything that was going on around me.
Okay.
But it was, there was things there like that weren't really there. Like, it was almost like you're seeing a dream in real life, but it was just this feeling of pure evil. And like, it was as if something had a hold of me and I wasn't able to go, like, until I was able to complete this task that just seemed impossible. And it seemed simple yet impossible. And it's so hard to explain, right? Like, it just doesn't make sense in my head, and I can't make sense of it. Like, especially considering I can't remember in exact detail of what happened.
Sure.
But yeah.
So,
and I even one time when this happened, like, my parents tried to stop me from running around and whatever. Mm-hmm. And apparently I struck my dad, like hit him across the face because he was trying to stop me. And I think that was because I was trying to complete whatever task I had to do, but and him trying to stop me was just made it worse. Or I can't say for sure, but
sure. Wow.
Yeah. But the only thing that seemed to stop it was when, if they were able to get me into the washroom or into the to the sink or whatever and wash my face with cold water, it seemed to break me out of this like trance-like state or something. Mm. And then I was able to relax. But it just, after I was fully conscious, I was feeling just this absolute fear of whatever happened. It's like almost traumatizing.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that would be like. Being a father myself, I think it would probably be incredibly freaky to see my son just running around the house screaming with his eyes open and stuff. That in and of itself would seem really terrifying. And then the fact that you were also conscious, at least to a degree, and perceiving not only the awakening state of your reality, but also other things in that experience, I think... You know, I can't say for sure, but that definitely does sound paranormal, or like there was some kind of entity or something perhaps acting on you. Now, could it be just some kind of psychological night terror? Sure, it sure could be. And I'm no doctor, but that is a really curious experience. And it doesn't seem like I have heard of anybody having that same experience. Like, you know, I mean, sleepwalking is pretty common. People sleepwalk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they don't run around their house screaming with their eyes open, trying to complete tasks. What age would you suppose you were at this point?
I think I'm not sure. I think I can't say for sure because I think it goes back to before I really had full memories. My parents said way back from when I was probably a toddler till I think the last one I remember having, I think 12 or 13, and that one actually happened in the middle of the day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is I had a nap and woke up, and it wasn't as bad, though. I woke up, and I was just scared, and I was, crying for no reason, just nonsense, and I don't know. But I guess one thing I didn't mention that may have a ties to this, but may not, is... Back when my mother was quite younger, she was a teen, I think, her and her sisters had actually played with a Ouija board. So I'm not sure if that may be connected somewhere down the line to what has happened in our lives and in my family's lives. But,
you know, yeah. It may very well be. I'm not I think that Ouija boards can certainly become portals or allow things into people's experience. I don't think that they're intrinsically evil, you know, as much as a lot of people do. I think that they're kind of like a hammer. A hammer can be used to build a house, or it can be used to put in somebody's kneecaps. You know, I mean, it can be used for horrible things. But I think for the most part, They can just be inadvertent problem kind of things. I don't think that the Ouija board itself is intrinsically evil, but I think people may inadvertently call something to them that would become a huge problem in their life. And you're right, it could have a bearing on the family dynamics for, you know, many years to come if something has attached itself to either your mom or your family or whatever. You're right, that could certainly be a consideration.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty scary. Like, you open a door, and if you're messing around and you don't know how to close it, you know, it can cause problems.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I think, and I should qualify that by saying, I think there is a manner of using them that could probably be plenty safe, but I don't think most people know what that manner is in terms of, you know, how to set up an environment, how to cleanse, how to guard against evil and ward against evil things coming in. You know, there's a lot to it. It usually, Ouija boards are used by, you know, young children or young adults or whatever that are just kind of bored, and so they just pull one out and start going at it. Well, you know, in spiritual terms, you always have to be conscious of energy, and you have to safeguard against negative energy and malicious entities and try to create an environment that only would allow the positive. And, you know, likewise, at the end of a session, you know, most people think, well, I'll just drag the plastic thing over goodbye and then we're done. And you know, and really that's not going to do much of anything in terms of literally closing a channel or a connection. And that's what I think a Ouija board is a blind channel. You know, you're touching something and you're saying, okay, come, anybody here want to talk to us? And you're basically volunteering your own energy to be a conduit for these things to come. And I think that's where the danger comes in. But, you know, I guess I'll have to do a whole show about Ouija boards and stuff at some point to express my feelings about that. But I'll just say that most people use them incorrectly and perhaps even dangerously. But, you know, it is very possible, you're right, that could be what brought something into your family's experience that could have been attacking you and causing all kinds of problems. And that's a hell of a long time to be experiencing a phenomena like that.
Yeah, it sure is. I feel like it may have ties to things that have happened. I mean, I can't say for sure, like none of us can really, because this is all speculation, but because no one really knows what's going on with the paranormal and all these things that we experience. And I think that's why we come together on platforms like this to talk about it and figure out what's really going on.
Amen, brother. I hear you. And we've all got more questions than answers, that's for sure.
But no kidding. And when you do get answers, it just seems to open up a whole doorway to new questions. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's just getting worse.
Yeah.
We've got more things to find out now.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're absolutely right. So at the end of this, was there any change that you feel happened that put an end to this, or did it just suddenly stop?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. It just seemed like over the years, it seemed to become less and less occurrent that I know of, or I can't say for sure what would have maybe changed it, or maybe, I don't know.
Okay, very good points. Well, that's...
But I can say for sure, I always fear that now that I'm living alone and living with my wife and my child, that it's definitely a fear of mine that it may happen again, and who knows what's going to happen now that I'm a much more grown up man and it could be dangerous.
Well, there is that. I guess, you know, you and I will have to stay in touch. I got some, affiliated with the show are these amazing people, of different faiths and followings that have always been helping people. And if you're concerned about that, we can certainly get you in touch with one of them and they can maybe look, and see if there's anything plaguing you that needs to be gotten rid of. I think that would be a great idea, just to make sure, especially if you're talking about, you got a child and a wife, then, you know, you don't want to have anything around them. They don't deserve that. So, I'll help you with that after the show, brother.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I think that's all that I can really go into on that is that's really sure. all that I know.
Right. No, I think that's...
Unless you've got some other questions about it.
Well, I think, you know, it's what I think it's mostly speculation at this point anyway. I think it's incredibly curious, and I think it could very well have a paranormal part or aspect to it, but it's a great not great. It's a poignant story, and I think it definitely sets the stage for the rest of your stories. So, what came next, brother?
Well, I guess after the there's a kind of that kind of spread out through like probably about 12 years of my life with those occurrences, but yeah, I had one of my family members, like, this isn't a personal story, but sure. She had told me about it,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I guess, sorry about this. I'm trying to just formulate some thoughts here.
No, it's fine.
From back when. She told us this story back when I was a kid, when she was babysitting us this one time. She told us about this story of these shadow figures that she believed tried to possess her.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. And at first it started off like, I can't say it was the same night that this happened, but one time when everyone was in the home and she had just gotten home from either a friend's house or work or something, she was going up to go into the front door, and across their yard next to their shop, she said she just saw this like group of figures. It just looked like people, but it was in the dark, so she couldn't make it out. And she just said that they were like laughing and just standing there and like talking amongst each other. And there was no one else at the yard, like nobody else there. It was late at night. Everybody mm-hmm. else was at home and in the house.
Okay.
And yeah, and I think she believed that was tied to what happened later on, is the one night she was laying in her bedroom and she said that all of a sudden, like, her bedroom was on the second floor of this home. It was a home with a basement on it, and her room was up on the second floor. And she said that she was up late and no one else was awake in the house. And she heard these footsteps outside, like walking along the side of the house. Mm-hmm. And then it went up to the front of the house and up the stairwell to their front door. And then she said she heard the door open and close. And then she heard the footsteps coming into down the hall and then towards her room. And as she saw her room, she had her door open in her bedroom, and there was like obviously some sort of glow from the yard light or something, uh-huh. but she could just make out these two shadow figures that just walked into her room. And she said that one of them laid down in the bed next to her, mm-hmm. and the other one, she felt like it was trying to possess her, and it was like it was reaching down and with open arms to almost like grab her or embrace her in some sort of hug or something.
Uh-huh.
But she said, yeah, she saw them and she just started to pray to the Lord and pray that he would rebuke these spirits. And she said that it was all of a sudden as if there was a force field around her, that this shadow figure couldn't grab her. It was like as if it was hugging a ball around her.
Oh, good.
And she said they stayed there, I think, for like 2 hours. She stayed there praying and praying that they would go away. And then all of a sudden, they were just gone.
Oh, good.
So, wow. Yeah, it's crazy. And mind you, she's telling this story to me and my sisters, and we're about 8 years old at the time, and we're just terrified. Like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's terrifying for sure. Because... you know, the point being is being a little kid, of course, you feel absolutely vulnerable, I'm sure. And knowing that your big sister was struggling with this would have been a lot to carry. But wow, what a credible, incredible experience.
Well, that wasn't our big sister. That was my dad's niece, like our cousin, first cousin.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I missed that. My apologies.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, it's no problem. But yeah, she believed. She figured that she had been reading a lot of these like books that had a lot to do with witchcraft, and she kind of, I don't know if she dabbled in it at all, but it she was really taking an interest into witchcraft and stuff, and she believed that that's what sparked these things to happen.
Yeah, I guess it certainly can. I know people get curious about other spiritual approaches and stuff, and I don't know that those are intrinsically bad, good, or otherwise, but I think that, once we start a journey, it can be, there can be a lot of reasons that something maybe less than good would be coming our direction. But yeah, man, I'm glad that she, was able to pray and find that protection, because that is terrifying.
Oh yeah, it sure is. Yeah.
Great. Wow. That's incredible. And so where are we going next, sir?
I got a bunch of stuff written down just so that way I kind of have the timeline figured out.
Sure.
I do believe, the next thing that I remember that happened was something, it was a personal experience. Uh-huh. And I think it happened back in 2010. I was probably around 12, 13 years old.
Uh-huh.
And the one day me and my dad were the only ones home at the time, and I'm not sure where my my mom and three sisters went that day, but my dad was just getting ready to head out for work, and he's a truck driver, and it was in the winter. Uh-huh. And so I said my goodbyes to him, and he went off to work, and I myself, a young teen or whatever, went downstairs and went to go play my video games. And mm-hmm. This is in a basement, it was a double wide home on a basement.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was an unfinished basement. So I didn't have a door on my bedroom, but it was just the biggest bedroom in the house. So of course, me being the only boy, I of course got that room.
Nice.
And okay. Yeah, I was just sitting there playing my games, and I was, just sitting there all alone, and no one else is in the home. I'm not thinking about nothing scary or nothing like that. I'm just playing my games.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, it seemed like there was like a room that was kitty corner to mine, and it was what we used as a storage room.
Okay.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, I was just playing, and I heard the distinct sound of like cardboard boxes, like a pile of them just falling over, like just that tumbling noise of cardboard boxes with stuff in them.
Sure.
It's like an unmistakable sound. And I heard that, and I was like, what the heck? And it like really jumped or like gave me a jump scare, and I wasn't sure what was going on.
Yeah.
And like seconds after that, I was listening intently. And since the basement floor wasn't finished or nothing, it was just the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this distinct sound of some footsteps dragging along the floor, like that shh, shh, that concrete makes when you're wearing like socks or slippers.
Yeah.
And I could hear the footsteps slowly coming from the end of the hall towards my bedroom door. And as I'm sitting there staring at the opening where there should be a door, but obviously there's not. And I'm sitting there terrified in fear, uh-huh. just still. And I'm waiting for something to come across my doorway. And just as the footsteps get to where I would see it, there was nothing. And it just all of a sudden, no more sound at all.
Man,
I was sitting in there terrified. Like I didn't move for, I think like 10, 15 minutes, just sitting, waiting for something. And then, I had a survival knife that I'd gotten as a gift from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I grabbed that, and it's like, what's a knife going to do to something's paranormal or whatever. But it's that sure. false sense of security.
Right.
And I stood there, and from my bedroom door, I could see the stairwell heading upstairs, and I kind of just stood up and like got myself positioned there, and then darted for upstairs after I had mustered up the courage to do so.
Wow.
And I went upstairs and I sat down. I figured I'm just going to stay out of the basement because it's a little spooky down there right now for me being home alone.
Yeah.
And I guess what happened next was not anything to do with paranormal. I could say that, but
okay. Well, Jonah, before we go into another story here, I do have some stories about that one, or some questions rather. But before we do that, I think this is probably a good time to take a break. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jonah from Alberta, with more of his stories. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here, the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, welcome back, and welcome back to the Paranormal Portal. Today we have a special guest. Jonah from Alberta is on the show, and he's sharing his incredible array of paranormal and strange experiences. So thanks again, Jonah, for being here with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. But just before break, you had told a story about being in the basement playing the video games in your home and hearing a pile of boxes tip over and then the sound of strange, like slippered feet dragging their way over to your door where finally they abruptly ended and nothing was there. Now, did you actually find a pile of boxes eventually that was turned over, or was that just...
Yeah, I was just going to say that, I actually later on, shortly after I came back from being upstairs, I did go down there just to check, and I checked, right adjacent to my room was my sister's bedroom, and I checked in there, and there was absolutely nothing fallen on the floor. It was all... Everything was tidy, like she always had it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I checked that storage room, and there was no cardboard boxes that could have tipped over. Everything was perfectly standing. There was nothing. It was all clean and no mess, and nothing had fallen over.
Wow.
And I couldn't make sense of that. And it was pretty scary for me.
Well, you know, I think it happens a lot, and I got to say, in the years of doing the show, I can't tell you how many stories have been like, we were in the living room watching television when all of a sudden we heard the cupboard doors in the kitchen whip open and just tons of dishes fly out and smash on the floor, and it sounded like a tornado in there. So we get up and run into the kitchen, and it's absolutely pristine and perfect. There are no broken dishes or anything. And, you know, so many stories like that, so many stories of people hearing things, like being in a group of people, one person will hear these phenomenal, spirit voices, and nobody else will have heard them. And so what I think might happen in those situations is that, it appears that in some manner or another, these spiritual beings can project audio hallucinations. And make people swear that they're hearing these kind of things when in fact nothing has actually happened. But it's gotta be, it's about the creepiest thing, because you have to think about the psychology of those kind of things. Like, what are they trying to accomplish? Well, what they're trying to accomplish is to scare the hell out of somebody. I mean, there's no other reason for it, And so when that happens, you're dealing with one of two things, either an incredibly mischievous spirit or something dark. I mean, those are the only two options you have at that point.
Yeah, because definitely something that is of good nature is not going to try to scare you.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's not like grandpa just coming to check in or something like that. It's something really trying to screw with you. And I think, you know, with negative spirits, I think that it's kind of a war of attrition in a sense that, you know, they try to wear people down. They try to wear down people to make them afraid, because there's some virtue of us being afraid that they really either require or enjoy, you know. And maybe it's a power trip. Maybe it actually creates some kind of sustenance from them. Like, we maybe radiate an incredible amount of energy when we're afraid, and they can somehow feed off of that, you know. And of course, it's all just theories and ideas, but you know, that's the only end game that I can figure in things like that, when there's, you know, these incredibly profound sounds going on and then nothing, you know. It's just, and then the fear that lingers, like, okay, so it's invisible. Is it right next to me? What the hell's going on? You know? And then you know, it's a fear that builds upon itself.
Yeah. And it starts to just, you start to think about things and it almost wants to drive you mad.
Right, exactly. And I think you might have just hit the nail on the head. So if it is like a spirit that maybe wants to walk into somebody, or you know, I don't know about the word possession, but maybe oppression, that if wants to attach to somebody, maybe it has to weaken our aura first. And in doing that, maybe fear does that. I don't know. You know, it's just, again, just a ton of ideas that fly through my head. I am certainly no expert, but I'm, you know, I've just been researching this for so many years now, and these are just the commonalities that I keep finding. And I try to look for reasons, like, what's the concept behind this? What is it trying to accomplish? And those are the only things that I can come up with.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe it's just like, for that, if the fear is like energy for them, maybe it's like on the kids movie Monsters, Inc., where they got to scare and harness the fear for their energy for their world, you know?
You're right. Maybe they're a bunch of agents working in concert with each other to generate electricity for home. You never know. I mean, at this point, it's all on the table, brother. Nobody's got any that they're studying. So but it is really incredible. And I, you know, I can understand being absolutely petrified of something like that. That's really a very unnerving kind of story.
Yeah. And what happened after, like, I heard that and was upstairs, oh, like, I had that fear in me, right? And what happened next, it wasn't paranormal, but, man, when it's kind of funny, because I was sitting upstairs there, and all of a sudden I hear the front door to my house open and slam shut, and I'm like, uh-oh. What is that? No one's supposed to be here. And then I hear the loud footsteps come up this, like, because we had our there, it was like a double stairwell, like this, there was like a landing and then a small stairwell to the upper floor and then the long stairwell to the basement.
Okay.
And I heard the steps coming up the next set of stairs to the upper floor and come down the hall towards the living room. And I'm hearing these footsteps coming, and all of a sudden, turns out my dad had come home, and he just walked around the corner, and I'm not kidding, hiding behind the TV, peeking out, like, waiting to see what this was. I was terrified.
Wow.
And I think he was like, whoa, what happened, you know?
So
yeah, and he just...
Were you able to have discussions with your parents about these events as they're happening? I mean, were they on board, or were they like, oh, you're just seeing things. Oh, you're just staying up too late. Oh, it's a bad dream. Well, how was your parents in helping you with these experiences?
Well, my dad, he grew up real old school and kind of like sheltered. He grew up in like a, it was a Christian family, but like our heritage is Mennonite.
Okay.
And they kind of, you know, preach that there's no really ghosts or anything like that. And he just wrote it off saying, oh, it was just the house settling.
Oh, sure.
I was like, I've lived in this house for a few years with you. I know what the house settling sounds like.
Right.
Like, it's like a popping and cracking noise, not cardboard boxes tumbling over and footsteps along concrete.
Yeah, that's not the usual house settling noises that I'm familiar with.
No, and the one thing that really reassured my sanity on this is some years later, I was away for the night or something, and my cousin came over, like my sister's or our cousin, but it was her name was Julia. She's just a young girl at the time. Mm-hmm. And they had decided that they wanted to stay in my bedroom.
Okay.
Like while I was away because they had a house full or something. Mm-hmm. And apparently she had heard those exact same footsteps sliding along the concrete in the middle of the night.
Oh man.
Wow. Yeah. It's scary, but almost reassuring that I'm not losing it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I suppose to have that validation is kind of important, and I imagine she didn't hear the house settling either then.
No, I don't think concrete makes settling noises.
Not normally.
No, and if it does, it would probably be like a loud cracking.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. That's really intense, brother. That's really intense. But
yeah.
Was this the same house the whole way through? Like, so when you're having these this is different houses?
The night terrors actually happened throughout my first two homes that we lived in.
Okay.
The night terrors really hit or started then. And when we moved to this other place, it seemed like the terrors, like I was kind of almost like they didn't happen as often anymore that I remember.
Good. Okay. Gotcha.
And yeah, but there was actually a lot more things that I remember, like just unexplained things that could be linked to paranormal mm-hmm. happening in that home. And it happened not only to me, but to all three of my sisters.
Okay.
And also to some of their friends that would come over. Mm. A lot of them experienced strange stuff from like some shadow figures and to seeing a doll hanging in the trees at night with the blood dripping down its face.
Oh, geez. Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if you want, I can just give you a quick run through. Like, I don't have too many details on these as they're not really my experience, but I've just talked with my sisters and they've told me what happened.
Sure. I mean, we'd love to hear it.
Okay. Yeah. So, my oldest sister, I'm the oldest of the four of us, but
okay.
The oldest sister, one time when her and the youngest were the only ones at home, my sister was sitting there in the kitchen of my parents' home, and she said that this wooden chair that was pulled out from the table went and slid and tucked itself back into the table.
Oh.
Yeah, right in front of her eyes. There are no strings pulling it, nobody else home, just her and the like 5-6-year-old other sister at the time. It was, I guess, that terrified her.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I can't blame her.
I've heard like our kitchen cabinets opening and close themselves. And even the one time when I was home alone watching TV upstairs there, all of a sudden I heard the cupboards open or a cupboard open mm-hmm. and I go and walk in the living room and sure enough, there's one of the cupboards is opened. I was like, what the heck? And I guess at this time I'd start to get, I don't know if I would say cocky or just tried to find my own way to deal with it. So I figured that maybe if there is a spirit living here, I'll just call him Bob. Uh-huh. And so I just said, oh, Bob, why are you messing around? And it seemed to be like my own sense of comfort, so that way it wasn't as scary.
Right.
You know?
Now, I got to ask you, though, did you notice things kind of settle down once you started to acknowledge that presence?
Yeah, actually, I heard that you mentioned that in just one of your recent podcasts that you did, that when you acknowledge it, it seems to relax it as if they're just looking for acknowledgement. And right. I did see that. It did die down for myself, that's for sure. Oh,
good,
sure.
Good. Okay, I'm glad that happened. Okay.
Yeah, in that home, all three of my sisters, but not myself, they all experienced, like, sleep paralysis,
mm-hmm.
which is, yeah, it's strange, and they said that they would see, like, or feel, like, this evil presence, and that they would see like figures running around and whatnot.
Wow.
Yeah, and my one sister, she told me about this time that she was laying in her bed, and she can't say for sure if it was a dream or a night terror type thing or whatever, but she said she awoke kind of like, it was as if she woke up and she saw this demon as if it, like a flaming demon, like it was on fire and screaming right in front of her face, like floating above her, screaming in her face.
Oh, man.
In her mind or whatever, she got up, like got out of the bed quick and opened the door to the get out into the hallway of her, out of her room. And she said she saw my mother at the end of the hallway standing there, and she ran towards her and hugged her. And then all of a sudden after she hugged her, she like was back in the bed and the demon was in her face again, screaming at her.
Oh no. And that's horrible.
Yeah. It was terrifying, like, hearing this stuff. Like, I only started hearing this these stories, like, in the last 6 months from them, and I'm like, this stuff has been going on all this time, and you haven't told me?
Why hasn't anybody told me?
I'm thinking I'm the only one.
Right. Wow. Now, you know, I don't pretend to know much about the Mennonite tradition, but since, of course, these... spirits aren't really regarded as something that exists. Do you think that that's part of it? Why there wasn't more dialogue going on?
I don't really know. I think they kind of just maybe brushed it off, or maybe they were scared to talk about it. But
yeah, that's true.
See, we're not like a traditional Mennonite. We're like a modernized.
Uh-huh.
We still have the values or whatever of family and.
Mm-hmm.
The lifestyle, but yeah.
Well, I have a lot of respect for that tradition. I think that, you know, the Mennonites and the Amish, they are, you know, very reverent people. And so I think, you know, it's wonderful. So don't ever think that I'm, you know, casting any aspersions by asking any of these questions. It's just curiosity because I don't pretend to know a whole lot about it.
Oh yeah. No, everybody's always curious and they always think like, oh, you guys just drive with metal tires and you're not allowed technology. It's like, oh, no, no. we're a little different than that. We're just like everyday people, you know?
Sure, yeah.
With ours anyway, but there is definitely the Mennonite cultures that are the real old school traditional style.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. In this community that I live in, there's quite a few Mennonites as well. And they're, you know, they're running around in normal trucks and everything like everybody else. So, you know, we don't have the, you know, real traditional Amish approach up here that I'm aware of. Maybe they're around, but I'm not a native of this area either. But, you know, I was just curious. Sorry. I didn't mean to throw you off there. So.
Yeah. I guess I'll go into this whole, like, the doll thing.
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah. So I think this only happened. This wasn't too many years ago. This was, maybe 3-4 years ago. And it... All these, this has all happened at the same place now. And this stuff didn't happen within the house.
Mm-hmm.
This happened outside. And my sister, she had like a end of the year school party. So her and a couple friends, they're like all like 10, 11, 12 year old girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to have like a sleepover and stay in the tent outside and, you know, just have fun and hang out.
Right.
And I guess they were playing hide and seek out in the dark at night. And one of the girls went and hid next to a bunch of like pine trees along the edge of the yard. And she said that she was sitting there in the dark and she looked up and there was just this doll, like a porcelain like doll hanging from the tree with blood dripping down its face.
Oh God. Wow.
Ugh. Yeah. And that same night, the girl who was being the seeker going and looking for the other girls, she said she was walking around and all of a sudden there was this big shadow figure of a man standing right behind her. And she looked back and saw him and then screamed and ran. And I guess after that, all the girls decided we're not sleeping in the tent. We're going inside.
Yeah. That'll kill a sleepover quick, won't it?
Oh yeah.
Wow. That's intense. But nobody was obviously injured then, right? They were just all pretty terrified.
I think more just traumatized that this happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's intense.
Yeah. And I think that's all that I know of for the any paranormal or stuff that happened in that home. But I know that I'm not saying this is related or anything, but the people that lived there previously, we were decently good friends with them. Mm-hmm. Like, we bought the home off of them.
Okay.
And I guess the stepdad had apparently he seemed like a nice guy to me and all. And apparently he had tried to all of a sudden rape his stepdaughter and like chased after her with a gun because of it at that home.
Oh.
And I don't know if maybe there was some sort of presence that caused something like this to happen to her or.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, stuff like that is really hard to understand. How does somebody get to that place? You know, and I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, of course, if you think of a demonic presence or some kind of possession, that certainly makes sense, but there's also just broken people too. And it's hard to know which is which in those kind of situations, but man, that's a heartbreaker for sure. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, just now thinking, I actually almost just about missed two of my big key experiences for myself, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
If you want to go into them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this happened in 2014, and I remember I had moved out of my parents' home for the summer. I was 17 years old, and I had just moved out in with my cousin, not far, like about a half an hour drive from my parents' home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just doing a summer student working program and living with my cousin. And yeah, I was the one night I was home alone and he was at a Christian Bible camp. He was one of the leaders there and he was down there with his girlfriend and they were doing just stuff with the camp. And I was the only one home and I had to work the next day. And so I was sitting in my bedroom home alone and I can't remember. I think I don't think I was playing any video games or watching any movies at the time, but I was texting with this girl that I was working with and, you know, I was really interested in her and
mm-hmm.
now she's my wife now. But yeah, I was in the room there and all of a sudden, I don't know, out of nowhere, I just got this like feeling of absolute terror just for no reason. I was having a good day and just all of a sudden terror struck me and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And the only thing at the time I could muster up the thought in my head of what maybe was going on was that Satan himself was theirs. That's the feeling I had.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And yeah. And all of a sudden I went into a trance or something. I can't say for sure because all of a sudden when it came to, I was holding this giant knife. It was a throwing knife, big heavy duty one that I had bought and all of a sudden I realized I was holding it and about to plunge it into my stomach.
Oh geez.
And I was like, I realized what was going on all of a sudden and I just whipped the knife across the room and was like, what the heck? And I was so terrified, mm-hmm. Just absolutely terrified. And so, you know, me growing up in a Christian home and whatnot, I figured, well, the only way to deal with this is just to try and, you know, just focus on God and try and do something like that. So I put my music on to some gospel music and I just try to sing along just to soothe myself and just relax a bit,
uh-huh.
you know, and I don't, there's also, this has a twist to the end, like the other story with my dad, sadly, but if you have any questions about that first, before I let you know that.
Well, I think that, you know, that's absolutely terrifying to think that somebody, something could, take control like that. That is really, really disheartening and very scary stuff. So, I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you were able to, push through that. And after you were doing your songs and prayer, did that lighten up or lessen up or what happened exactly there?
Well, it definitely seemed to be helping. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had my music playing pretty loud. So, yeah, I had my bedroom door shut and I was listening to the music and kind of singing along. And then my bedroom door blasts open.
Oh, like
someone kicked it. Like it was as if someone kicked it open.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting on my bed and I was looking straight down the across the hallway to the front door of the house, and I didn't see no one. And, you know, this literally happened like 10 minutes before I felt this evil and that I was about to almost kill myself.
Yeah.
And then my bedroom door blasts open. And mind you, I was listening to the music, so I didn't hear my cousin and his girlfriend come home, and I wasn't expecting them home.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she had kicked the door open and hid behind the wall before I could see. But then they saw this look on my face, and I just broke down and started crying and bawling. And she all of a sudden looked in the door. She was laughing, and she saw the look on my face, and she knew something was wrong.
Uh-huh.
And they came in, and she felt so bad. And yeah, I explained to them what happened, and then they're like, oh. So they sat there, and they prayed with me for a bit. And after that, it seemed to soothe up,
okay.
And I seemed to relax. And but yeah, that was a terrifying account for sure.
Yeah, that's really hard to understand what could be going on in those situations, but. It does sound like, you know, there's something, I don't know whether it has a measure of control, if it's just a measure of how powerful the being is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that is terrifying, truly.
Yeah, and it makes it worse that these people had to go and scare me immediately after. That's like the worst.
Yeah, of all the bad timing, that's definitely would win an award.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you know. Now, looking back on it, to me, it's kind of a funny story to me now, but in the moment, definitely not.
No, that was not the right time. not the right time for a practical joke, for sure. But I'm glad that all worked out okay. Thank God. Wow.
Yeah, and I guess I had actually had one other time that I felt that, like, just out of the blue, like, just evil presence.
Mm-hmm.
Or feeling of evil, anyway.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It was one time. Yeah. Me and my girlfriend, but now wife, we were out in the field, like we were farming. I was running a tractor and she was sitting in there with me. And, you know, we're having a good day just hanging out and working. And all of a sudden, for no reason, I just got that feeling of evil wash over me again and just fear. And I can't say for certain why, but all of a sudden it was like in my mind. Something was trying to tell me to ask my girlfriend, like to ask her if she was the devil. Like it was something was triggering that thought in my head. Mind you, I did not say that to her because I was like,
right.
Like if you ask your girlfriend if she's the devil, well, she might leave you then and there. You know?
Yeah, it's not a real relationship building conversation for sure.
No, but like I can't say what happened. Like it just out of the blue. It's so bizarre. I can't make heads or tails of it. Yeah, and I guess that's all I have for paranormal link stories or ghostly or whatever personal. But I actually had a UFO sighting myself once with my wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, please tell us. We'd love to hear that.
Yeah, it's nothing spectacular like an abduction or lost time or nothing like that. She was my girlfriend at the time still, and this is like probably 2016 or 15.
Okay.
No, no, it would be, I think, 16, yeah. Anyways, I was driving down the road and I was going to bring her back to her parents because we were done hanging out for the day. And so I was going to go drop her off. And we're driving down the highway headed south. And all of a sudden I'm driving and I see this like glowing orange light or ball way off in the distance up in the sky. And I was like looking at it for a second myself, like trying to think, is that a jet or something? Mm-hmm. Or maybe a meteorite? And it just seemed to be sitting there, like, in one spot.
Okay.
Just hovering, almost. And mm-hmm. I was like, looked over to my girlfriend at the time, and I said, you see that? And she, like, looked, and I was like, she's like, yeah, what is that? And I was like, I don't know. And it was as if when we both acknowledged it, it was almost like it knew. Mm-hmm. And it just zipped away, like, so fast. It was within, I know everybody says this, but, like, if you would have blinked, you wouldn't have seen it go away, and it would have looked like it just teleported. Because wow. I saw it just almost like dip down in a bit of a U shape and then just zip off into the southern hemisphere so fast that it was out of sight within less than a second.
Wow, that's moving.
Oh, yeah, it was. I was like, okay, that's definitely not something that we have as a human race.
Yeah.
You can't go that fast.
No, not yet. I'm sure we'll get there someday, but wow, that's intense. Just one light. It wasn't like a collection. It was just one light.
No, it was just one glowing orange light.
Did you get an impression of how close it was, or how far away it was, or was it too hard to tell for sure?
I would say, honestly, it looked it could be within the it was quite a ways up in the sky, probably like, I don't know, a good 700 yards up in the air.
Okay. Wow.
And it was probably maybe, I would guess, around like 5 to maybe 15 kilometers away, somewhere in that area. It's kind of hard to judge at night the distance of something up in the sky.
It is.
But yeah.
Wow. That's really intense, brother. That's quite an experience.
Yeah, it definitely blew my mind because I grew up in a home where UFOs and that's all nonsense, absolute garbage and fake. And then you see it yourself and you're like, okay, this is weird.
Maybe there's something to it after all, huh?
Yeah.
No, I think they're out there. I've seen a saucer pretty close, and it was exciting, exhilarating, and a little nerve-wracking at the same time. So I know what you're feeling. And I guess, like they say, seeing is believing. It's one thing to have an idea they're out there, but once you've seen they're out there, then it kind of changes the game, huh?
Yeah, you go from a believer to a knower.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, I agree. But, man, you've had some pretty incredible things happen, brother. And
and if you've got time, there's actually one other account that happened to a guy who used to be like my best friend. We've been through some rough patches, but we're still pretty good friends. And this is probably the most craziest account that I've ever heard from people that I know personally.
Sure. Yeah. By all means, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, I guess he gave me permission. I just talked to him just a few minutes before we got on here, but he gave me permission to give his name.
Okay.
And his name is Johnny. And we grew up being pretty good friends, and he ended up moving away, and he was living down in Lethbridge, Alberta area, somewhere there. Mm-hmm. And he was one night, him and his roommate, they were going to go hang out at his roommate's parents' house or something like that. And anyways, they had bought a case of beer, and they were just going to go hang out. And I guess they went, and I think they had just gotten home, and they'd maybe been on or had their first beer or second. So they weren't drunk, and they weren't smoking no weed or dropping no acid or nothing like that.
Okay.
And my buddy said that all of a sudden he would look to his roommate there and said, "Who's that lady?" And he was like, "What lady?" And he's like, "The woman that's down at your hall." He was like, what? And then I guess he said that it all of a sudden was coming closer and closer. Like maybe it's been a while since he told me the story in detail, and he, I think, doesn't remember it as much anymore.
Okay.
But like this happened just over a year ago. And yeah, he said it was like just a dark figure of a woman coming closer and closer each time he looked away. Mm-hmm. And then he said he looked in the room and he saw her. And he, what he said to me is everywhere he looked, he saw her, and which is weird. And then he said that all of a sudden he looked at his roommate, and all of a sudden his roommate's eyes just flipped in the back of his head, and he should just see the whites of his eyes. And all of a sudden this demon had, like, he called it a demon. It took over his friend, and he was arguing with this, what he believed to be a demon. And he was arguing, saying, you can't do this. You can't take my friend. And I guess they had gotten in a physical confrontation. And his buddy is not a great big guy. Like, he's not super muscular. And my buddy, he was like the guy who's arguing here. Yeah. He was only weighing like 190 pounds or so. He's still a fairly heavy guy. Mm-hmm. And he said that his roommate grabbed him and threw him across the entire room with like superhuman strength into the couch, like through, like he went flying across the room. Wow. And he said that they got in a bit of a physical confrontation. And then all of a sudden, that's all he remembered. He just woke up the next morning and he doesn't remember what happened. Whatever happened after that, they have no idea. But they just woke up the next morning in bed.
Wow. That's terrifying.
And I guess, yeah, he talked to his roommate after this, after that happened. And I guess his roommate said that he's had this, like, woman demon following him around his whole life.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. And his dad is even a pastor of a church, and they said that they've tried multiple times to remove it and like exorcise it, and nothing has ever worked.
Oh, that's wow, that's incredible. Well, what do you do then? You got to wonder. So if exorcisms are failing, what's left?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
That is terrifying.
And I know, like, after that happened, like, I started right away, you know. I've got the Christian faith, and I thought, well, maybe if we get enough people praying and working together, maybe we can help his roommate out and get rid of this thing. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that it seemed like as soon as I started trying to help, and all of a sudden I started just having like a serious run of bad luck.
Sure.
Like terrible.
Yeah,
and I all of a sudden, out for no reason, started to feel paranoid in my own home of spiritual things like going to happen to me. I never actually had anything to happen, but I just felt like this oppression from trying to help.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, energy follows intention, right? So if your energy is being sent in, you know, in the form of prayers around this person, then I imagine if it is truly, a being that could be incredibly powerful, like truly a demon, it's going to be well aware of who you are and what you're doing. I think spirits can read that energy really clearly. And, you know, of course, demons are probably among the most powerful of the normal spirits that a person could encounter.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually, I don't know if you know of him. He's got a podcast as well, the guy named Dark Waters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love his shows. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I heard on one of his podcasts, I think he was on a show with Tony or something.
Okay.
And I heard that he said that one time that he had like this woman or someone had contacted him with that they were having some serious demonic problems. And I guess that he had done something and was trying to help her or something. And he said that the one night he awoke with like a finger or something poking into his mouth. And he said that it happened twice. And the one time he said he bit down or it tasted like pure sulfur. And, you know, I heard that, and I heard Dark Waters he said that, you know, anybody who sends me any demonics, anything with that, I won't take it. I won't talk to you. I will block you if you do that. Cause like it manifested in his life after trying to help. And after I heard that, it was almost like I opened my eyes and I realized, oh my goodness, I'm not prepared to deal with such a thing, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not strong enough to fight off this demon that not even a pastor could get rid of.
Sure. No, I agree. I mean, it's unfortunately in the paranormal, the word demon gets overused a lot. And I think a lot of people, you know, just like to brag and make it sound incredible. They like to, inflate it into a demonic kind of thing. But I don't think most people have truly encountered a demon. And if they have, they wouldn't be, you know, throwing that term around so lightly, because there's nothing light and simple about those kind of encounters. They are horrible.
Yeah, no, I think they use that term because we don't really have terms for other negative spiritual entities. Like, so, you know, demon is like a very powerful negative energy, and I guess that's maybe why we just throw that around and it gets used too much.
You're right. Know? Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe there aren't enough terms to actually say or describe. And maybe most people do believe they're meeting demons, but, you know, truly demonic accounts are horrible. And they're a lot of times exorcisms are not just, hey, come on over, I'm going to splash you with some water and say some holy stuff and you're going to be okay. Yeah. Exorcisms can take place over months. And, it can be lethal to the people that are, you know, having this problem. So, it's nothing to take lightly, for sure.
Yeah.
But that is amazing. I certainly hope your friend is okay and that his roommate's okay. I mean, that's a whole different can of worms and, you know, I'll certainly send my prayers that way. If they matter, I don't know, but maybe you're right. Maybe the more people that do will make that less and less potent, but all we can do is, I guess, just surrender it to the divine, and hopefully the divine will intercede.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, some people may be upset by it, but you know, my belief is that the power of prayer is extraordinarily powerful. And if you get enough people, I believe, praying for something, that it can really move mountains almost.
Yep, I agree. I do agree. No question about that, brother. But it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, Jonah. It's been a great discussion, a great time. And I really appreciate you taking the time to be here with me and to share these stories.
Oh, no problem. You know, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to talk to me. And it's been good. It feels like a little bit of a weight lifted off, you know, get to talk to someone. And maybe someone who's listening now will be able to relate with me, and maybe we can get in contact and,
sure,
you know, discuss what's going on.
Yeah. If anybody wants to get in contact with Jonah, please let me know. If you have similar experiences or whatever, we can certainly help you guys make contact and have a discussion. But thank you so much, brother. I can't tell you how much it means to me, but it's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it and hope you have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. And I'll be in touch, okay?
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this Paranormal Portal podcast. And special thanks again for Jonah for joining us. I appreciate it. It was a great discussion. Really incredible experiences he's had. And I can't thank him enough for coming on and sharing those with all of us here. If you enjoy the Paranormal Portal podcast, please let us know. Head over to iTunes and leave us a good comment there if you would. It goes a long way in getting the iTunes algorithm to recommend our show to more people who are into the paranormal. So please feel free to follow us on Facebook. You can find us at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as we're on Twitter. If you have a Twitter account, give us a follow there. And our Twitter account is @paranormalportal, P-O-R-T-L. And make sure to check us out on YouTube and subscribe and like the videos over there. Again, these are all different videos that are over on the YouTube account. So if you're enjoying the podcast and you need some more Paranormal Portal, you can find us over there daily. We're doing live shows daily over there, 7 days a week at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our YouTube page. And that is youtube.com/paranormalportal. And we have over 500 episodes in archive over there. So there's all kinds of portal going on if you want to check out some more. We really appreciate all the encouragement and support. And if you have friends that love the paranormal, please let them know about the show as well. But that's going to wrap it up for our show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you so much for joining us here. Again, we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other, help each other out, find the magic in every day, and remember to laugh as much as you can. Good night, everybody.
Betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and wagering week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.